This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. A bit later, we'll be talking about a military doctor's role in the prisoner abuse at Abu Ghraib. But first, imagine a hotter, drier California with cities that feel like Death Valley and heat wave seasons twice as long. Well, those are some of the predictions from a group of climate scientists writing in the proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. And you can forget about cooling off with a nice chilled Napa Chardonnay. They say the forecast temperatures hikes mean poorer quality wine grapes. What is the future of the wine industry in California? The study refines global predictions of greenhouse gas emissions and climate change to look at what might happen at a local level, in this case, the various regions of California, from the peaks of the Sierra Nevada mountains to the streets of L.A. So we'll start the hour talking about the study and what climate change will mean for the people, industries, and ecology of the state. You're welcome to join our discussion. Our number, 1-800-989-8255, 1-800-989-TALK. And you can surf over to our website at sciencefriday.com for other links. Let me introduce my first guest. Catherine Mayhew is an atmospheric scientist at Atmos Research and Consulting, South Bend, Indiana, and lead author of the PNAS paper. She joins us today by phone. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Your study was different to others that looked at the effects of climate change at a regional level. Why did you choose California?
Well, we chose California because it is a challenging test case. As you know, California already struggles with many issues, including water supply and extreme heat. And it has a great range of geography, from coastal cities to inland valleys to Sierra Nevada mountains.
Uh-huh. So you could have a wide-ranging effect in all these different places.
Yes.
Let's talk about some of these scenarios. You came up with two major scenarios. Dr. Hayhoe, tell us what they were.
Well, one of the most important findings of our study is that the impacts that we'll see in the future on California and the rest of the world really depend on the choices that we are making now and in the near future. So for the purpose of this study, we looked at two very different scenarios, one where we continue using fossil fuels the way we've been doing so over the past century, and the other where we start to look for alternative sources of energy.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned in these scenarios incredible impacts that we might have, desert-like conditions in some of the places in California?
We found the impacts were widespread over almost every sector that we looked at. We found that with higher temperatures, you get more frequent and severe periods of extreme heat. As you can imagine, that affects human health in both the urban and rural areas. We found reductions in snowpack in the mountains, impacts on water supply in California, impaired quality of wine grapes, as you mentioned before, and also increasing temperatures affect the vegetation and ecosystems that make California such a unique place.
Even in the most optimistic scenario, it didn't sound very good.
It didn't, but it's important to recognize that even the optimistic scenario did not include specific actions to reduce our emissions of greenhouse gases.
It didn't.
No, this is basically a call to action to show us what impact our choices can actually make on our future. And the good news is that they can make an enormous difference on what we see in the future.
Mm-hmm. And in your most optimistic scenario, we'll start to see changes when? What would we see first?
Well, as early as a few decades from now, we're going to see increases in temperatures.
Such as?
For example, heat wave days could increase 2 to 3 times over the next few decades, so 2 to 3 times more heat wave days than we currently experience now.
Mm-hmm. And what about water?
Impacts on water are specifically related to temperature. A lot of California's water comes from the Sierra Nevada snowpack. And as temperatures warm, we're going to start seeing less snowpack and therefore less water storage. California is unique in that a lot of its water falls during the winter. 80% comes during the winter, but 3/4 of the use actually occurs during summer. Hmm. So the snowpack is this natural reservoir of water for California that stores it up in the winter and then releases it just when they need it in the spring and summer.
Hmm. And this temperature difference, even in your best scenario, is like spending summer, what would be like a summer in Yosemite feels more like downtown Sacramento instead.
That's right. And under the higher scenario, the Central Valley cities might feel more like Death Valley.
No kidding. And how would that affect the water supply in that high scenario?
Well, because of the reductions in snowpack, we see cascading impacts on stream flow, water storage, and supply, and also the ski industry. Can't forget that.
So you'll have no snow?
Well, what we see is under the lower scenario that we looked at, you could see reductions in Sierra snowpack of 30 up to 70%. And those reductions could climb as high as 90% if we continue to use fossil fuels the way we've been doing so over the past century.
And the wine industry, under the worst scenario, could it go out of business?
No, there are still some locations in California that would definitely be possible to grow grapes. But grapes are part of California's identity, and certain varieties are associated with different counties. Everyone's familiar with Napa and Sonoma.
Right.
But the problem is that grapes need a long, slow, and even ripening period, and that is very dependent on temperature. And so as we see temperature changing, we'll see varieties and locations where you can actually grow the grapes changing as well.
So you'd have to change the different kinds of grapes that you grow?
You would.
So what would we see? What would it change from?
Well, for example, areas that currently grow grapes that prefer a cooler climate would have to switch to other varieties of grapes that they might not be as familiar with and might not identify with as well, but that could withstand those higher temperatures.
Another aspect of the study that you mentioned was human health. You were able to make predictions about health-related mortality, people dying from extreme heat. How did you figure those out?
We did. Well, we looked at Los Angeles as an example, and we used historical data, looked at past heat waves that have already occurred in Los Angeles, and looked at the number of excess deaths that occurred during those heat waves that wouldn't occur on normal days where you didn't have the extreme heat.
Mm-hmm.
And what we found is that within the next few decades, heat-related deaths could increase 2 to 3 times under the lower scenario, and by the end of the century, they could increase 5 to 7 times under the higher scenario.
Now, the National Center for Policy Analysis described your study, quote, as a doomsday prediction by climate alarmists. How do you respond to that?
Well, from the science side, I would say that our study is actually rather conservative. The two climate models that we used have a low and a medium sensitivity in the way that they respond to our activities and the emissions that we produce. And practically speaking, the whole point of the study is to show that we have the potential to determine the outcome of our own future. The choices that we make today are going to have huge impacts on the amount of change that we see in the future.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Jeff in Fairbanks, Alaska. Hi, Jeff.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hey, how are you? I'm glad to be on the show. I just thought I'd really quickly give you guys an update on some Alaska conditions. I'm a wilderness guide up in the Brooks Range of Alaska, far northern range that we have up here. And this particular year has been incredibly warm to the point where even by early June, we had already lost about 90% of our snowpack.
Wow.
And by mid-July, it was completely gone. And I'm seeing glaciers. I've been up there for 11 years. The company I work for has been up there for about 25 years, guiding trips up there, and never have we seen such an incredibly fast runoff coupled with a huge decline in glacier activity.
Wow, premonition for California.
Jeff, that's very interesting.
Yeah, well, they're doing many studies up here right
yeah.
now, Call Glacier and the Ocpillac Glacier and stuff like that, and when I was in the Inupiat village of Kaktovik, right before I flew back, I was staying with a friend of mine who owns a lodge there, well, more like a type of an inn, and he has all kinds of photographs of the sizes of the glaciers from back in 1958, and then the Geophysical Institute here at Fairbanks has taken many, many new photographs of the glacier as of 2001, and the reduction in size is something like about 50 or 60%.
Wow. Wow. And the permafrost, we all know, is melting.
Yeah, and that's another thing, too. They've got the carbon runoff that's going inside of the rivers up here, and I've hooked up with a few USGS fellows over the years, and they have very little, evidence, and they're not really about ready to say anything, but preliminary studies are that there are huge amounts of runoff, and in our carbon molecules in the runoff, and that's possibly going to have drastic effects for the fish supply.
Right, Jeff. Thanks for keeping us up to date.
Yeah, you bet. Have a good day.
Have a good weekend. Sounds frightening. Is this what we could expect? That kind of surprise and report like that in California, Dr. Hayhoe?
Well, we are already seeing earlier melting of the snowpack in California. It's 1 to 3 weeks earlier than it has been over the last century.
Now, what do we do? Now, you said if no one takes any actions, I mean, is there time to take actions? And is it realistic that something can be done?
It is realistic, and the time is as soon as possible. The time is really now, because what we are doing is we are dialing in our future. Because the greenhouse gases last in the atmosphere from anywhere from decades to centuries, what we do now will affect the outcome of the whole next century. But there's no one magic wand that you can wave to make climate change go away. The real solution is just a set of incremental steps that start with something as simple as changing your regular light bulb and putting in a compact fluorescent. It goes up to the city level where you can plan your cities so that you don't need so much transportation in them. And then it goes up to the state, the national, and then the international level with treaties like the Kyoto Protocol that we've heard so much about.
Well, there was an interesting story this week that the Bush administration is finally admitting that even though the president didn't know about it, and the time New York Times was reporting today, the president didn't know about his own administration admitting that global warming is happening.
That's right. Well, we've seen significant temperature increases over the U.S., and as Jeff mentioned, glaciers are melting not just up in Alaska, but in the continental U.S. itself and in tropical locations and all over the world.
So this is not a kind of thing that stands still. You've got to take global action on this.
That's right. And like we show, the action that we take now will really affect what we see in the future.
So what are you studying next?
Well, it would be great to apply this study to other regions. Part of the reason we focused on California was it was a prototype focusing on a challenging area, but to see how well we could do in California and then hopefully look at other areas and do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Do you have one picked out that you're interested in?
Not yet. We'll accept suggestions.
Can other people do this in their own regions?
Certainly.
A study like this? Is there a how-to kit to do this?
There isn't a how-to kit, unfortunately, but one of the strengths of this study was the fact that we had a great team of interdisciplinary scientists, all the way from agriculture to climate science to ecologists, who worked together on this. Each of them were experts in their own field, and working together as a team, that is really the key to doing these regional impact assessments.
Mm-hmm. And I guess that you could put together your own team to do that.
Yes.
Any take-home message?
Well, just the fact that climate change is not an inevitable problem. There's definitely a lot that we can do about it. We should be concerned about it. We're already seeing the effects now, and they're just going to accelerate in the future. But the time to do something about it is now.
Have you had any reaction from the governor of California or any of the other people there?
Yes, we've actually had some very positive reactions from government in California.
Mm-hmm. And what were they saying?
They appreciate our concerns because they themselves are concerned about water availability and increasing temperature and heat waves.
Mm-hmm. And they probably agree with you that it's time to take some action.
I would hope so.
California has the strictest car emission standards in the country.
I believe so. California can serve as a leader for the rest of the U.S. and the world, I believe.
And it is turning out that it's up to the states. If the federal government doesn't want to step in and do these things, the states are going to have to do them on their own.
Yes, but it's perfectly possible for them to do that. Studies like this can only fuel that.
Well, I want to thank you very much for taking time to talk with us.
Thank you.
Dr. Catherine Hayhoe is an atmospheric scientist at Atmos Research and Consulting in South Bend, Indiana, and lead author on a Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences paper talking about the potential effects of global warming on the climate and the people of California. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about an inquiry into the abuse of Iraqi detainees at Abu Ghraib prison. And what was the role of doctors there, and should they be held responsible for not reporting some of the abuses that they had seen? We'll be right back after this break.